If you would, take your Bibles with me this morning and turn to John chapter 8. And we'll be looking there this morning, looking at the idea of Jesus is the truth. There is much debate in our world today about truth and asking us questions. You know, is there things that are absolutely true? Can we even know what true is and how do we find truth? And then if we do find truth, how do you recognize it? And then if we recognize it, is it even true when we recognize it? And can we believe that it's true? I think back to college when there was this 90s Christian song by Wes King entitled, I Believe. And we look at the words in the song about what it is that we believe. And the song goes like this, and I won't sing it to spare you all the fact that I can't really sing. But I will read you these words. He says, I believe in 6 days and a rest. God is good, I do confess. I believe in Adam and Eve, in a tree and a garden, and a snake and a thief. I believe the word of God. I believe because he made me believe. I believe in Noah. He built an ark of wood. 120 years, no one understood. I believe Elijah never died. He called fire from heaven on a mountainside. I have passed down through the ages of time, written by hands of men, inspired by the Lord. His word will remain till the end. I believe Isaiah was a prophet of old. The lamb was slain just as he foretold. I believe Jesus was the Word made man, and he died for my sins, and he rose again. See, we are challenged to believe some things that are true about who God is. We are challenged to believe some things about who this person of Jesus is and about who what God's Word is. And Jesus says that he is the truth, and he is the truth that sets us free. And we're going to look this morning at a passage here where Jesus shares this truth. He shares about who he is and the freedom that comes in who he is, and we're going to see how some respond to this truth. And so if you would, in John chapter 8, read with me as we look at verses 31 and 32 here to start with. It says, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. So as Jesus was walking on this earth, and as he was ministering, and as he was serving, there was widespread unbelief and rejection as to who he was. Even though he did all these signs and wonders, and he did all these miracles, there was some who still didn't believe. And last week we saw this in the feeding of the 5,000. You know, he took that little bit of bread and those pieces of fish, and he fed all those people, and then they followed him to the other side of the sea, and he began to speak to them, and they said, what sign will you show me so that we would believe? They had just eaten all that food that Jesus had given them, and they were still asking for a sign. With everything that points to God in our world, there are still some who do not believe. Now, I moved here from Indiana to Wyoming, and living in Wyoming has really opened my eyes to the beauty of God's creation. I have no idea how anybody can live here and not believe that there is a God. You see the beauty of the mountains and the skies, and I mean, you can leave town like 5 minutes in the night, and you can see all those stars, and how can you see that and wonder, even ask, is there a God who creates? But there is so much unbelief. With God revealing himself, there are still some who deny. And it's true during biblical times, and it's true today. There are people who reject him. But as Jesus ministered, it says in this passage, there are also some who believe. That some came to faith. We don't know how many that was. We don't know who they were. But there were some who took a stand with Jesus. There were some that would believe the truth. And when Jesus is saying here, he's challenging the people who say they believe to live out that belief. That there needs to be proof in the belief of things that we are true. And there are many people who have different versions of truth, different things they like to call true, but there really is only one truth. When I was in junior high and high school, I had this teacher. She was a geography and history teacher who I absolutely loved. Mrs. Doris was my favorite teacher for like a whole semester. I was a history major just because of her, and I realized I didn't like history as much as I liked Mrs. Doris, and so I switched my major. But in all the things I loved about Mrs. Doris, I was in a class one time. We were talking about world religions, and she says, I believe that all religions are one, and they all go to the same place. Now, I wasn't a really smart teenager, because most teenagers aren't. I wasn't a really smart teenager, but I thought thought to myself, that makes absolutely no sense to me because they all teach something different. How is it possible they can all be right? See, we need to search for truth and know truth. We have to know where to look for truth and in the right place. And so Jesus is talking to people and he says here, really, there's a difference between knowing and knowing. There's a difference between knowing and knowing. It's impossible to know about salvation, to know about God, to believe in the message of Jesus, and yet never really have a born-again, life-changing commitment to Him. And so when he says in this passage, he says, to those who believe, he says, there has to be something that shows that you believe. And he says here that those who are disciples of mine, those that are doing this, they will continue in my words. And so he asks us here that, look, if you are really a believer in truth, then you are making a commitment to him. A commitment that speaks of relationship with him. We make a commitment to God, and we says we study his word, we know his word, because we cannot do something that we don't know. And we can't make a commitment to walk with God if we do not know God. I love the answer from Children's Message. It says, you know, what would make this easier if we knew the person better? Right? What would make it easier to know the truth, to walk with Jesus, is if we got to know Jesus better, to truly know him. And so Jesus calls to a commitment, and he calls us to a commitment to continue, and he speaks to perseverance. There has to be proof of our salvation as we continue on. The reality of the message makes a difference in our lives, and we live out this difference every single day. And it's interesting as we think about this, if we say that we believe, then there has to be evidence that we believe in how that we live. And so Jesus says, if you know my word, then you are true followers of mine. And he says, if you do this, I offer you freedom. See, so many people talk about how confining Christianity is and how horrible it is to live by some sort of rules. And honestly, it's quite the opposite. Living in truth of Jesus is very freeing. We have the ability to truly live in freedom. And this is a big deal for us, especially us as Americans, right? We love our freedom. We value our freedom. We can do whatever we want, and nobody can tell us differently. Well, unless they disagree with us. And then they can tell us differently. Then our freedom should be modified so that how somebody else thinks it should be. So for many of us, we believe in freedom, but a limited freedom. And this is really how the world sees us. They mistakenly see us as Christians and think that instead of really being free, that we are slaves, that we have limited freedom. Do we have to do exactly what God tells us to do? Or if we don't, he might reach down and just zap us. And we have a bunch of boring rules to follow, and fun, truthfully, is outlawed, right? Christians just don't have any fun at all. And we have the freedom to choose. And I've lived really both ways. I've lived for the pleasures of the world, and I've lived for Jesus. And I'll tell you, the world has it backwards. I've lived in a world where I was searching for freedom. And I was looking for something to make me happy. And I sought that freedom and that comfort in things like alcohol and work and relationships. And no matter where I went, I was always left unsatisfied. And then I came to a point where I began to really walk with Jesus. And now I just live this really boring Christian life, where I have a job that I love and a church family that I love, a fantastic group of friends, the opportunity to travel to all these boring places around the world and get to tell people about Jesus, go places I never thought I would get to go and serve a God who I never thought would use me. And many people say that people like me are living in bondage, but I tell you, Jesus brings true, real freedom. It's the sin of the world that brings bondage. And you look around and everywhere, and you see people living in bondage. Some thinking they're free, but living in bondage. And look around our world, we see and people in depression and alcohol abuse and pornography and anxiety, low self-esteem, extreme doubt. The list can go on and on and on. And Jesus offers us freedom by his redeeming grace. And as believers, we should rejoice in that freedom. We should share the message of this freedom, a freedom that many deny that they even need. In verse 33, as we continue in this passage, it says, "They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been a slave to anyone. How is it you say you will become free?' Jesus answered them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you do the things which you have heard from your father.' They answered and said to him, 'Abraham is our father.' Jesus said to them, 'If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father.' And they said to him, 'We are not born of fornication. We have one father, God.'" See, unfortunately, there are many people who live in bondage who never even recognize where they are. Although the Jews here did not mean this to be funny, I find great humor in verse 33. See, they made this claim that they've never been enslaved to anyone. This is a foolish claim. This really is an arrogant claim, and it is not honest. It says they don't need the freedom of Jesus. Whatever you're talking about, Jesus, I don't need that freedom because we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been a slave to anyone. Well, let's do a little history. Assyria, Babylon, Persia, Greece. They'd have been slaves to all of these people since Abraham had walked. How about where they were living right now? See, even as they are speaking these words, they are under Roman authority and Roman control. They were completely not free in any way or shape or form. And here they say that we have never been enslaved to anyone. And we see it so often. There are people that are enslaved to something and they don't even recognize it. And they have no power to break away from that sin because, look, they don't have a problem. I'm really okay where I am, and they can never break away. And some live allowing the circumstances of life to not only control them, but to paralyze them. And Jesus says in verse 34, "I tell you the truth." I tell you the truth. See, when you and I allow sin to capture our minds, dominate our actions, when we allow things to control our choices, we ruin our potential to live in real freedom, to be truly, really free in a relationship with Jesus. This is not about just knowing him in theory or knowing about him on paper, but this is experiencing a truth that transforms a life. And these Jews here, they were clinging to their lie. He says they were Abraham's children. Physically, that was true. Physically, they were descendants from Abraham. Spiritually, it was a lie. They weren't following their father, Abraham. They were seeking to kill God's son for doing what? Telling them the truth. Something that Abraham would never have done. See, Jesus was put on a cross, and he was crucified simply for telling the truth. Jesus was claiming to be God's son. And the Jews here, they attack his claims here. They attack his birth. They say, "We were not born of fornication." And so what's happening here is Jesus claims who he is. And what they're doing here is they're attacking his virgin birth. See, the people knew that there was this thing that Jesus was born or virgin, and this was a doctrine that his friends and his followers, they treasure this doctrine of the virgin birth. But those who rejected him and his enemies, they would attack this message of his birth. And so right here, the Jews are saying to him, they're kind of making fun of him, and they're saying, "Look, we are God's children. We have one Father God, and we're not born of fornication, whatever this thing is that you think that you are." And they're missing. Man, they're missing who Jesus is while attacking the claims of Jesus. And they claim to be true children of God with not even really knowing who this God is that they're claiming to be children of. And there is absolutely no freedom in that. In verse 42, Jesus says to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come of my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? For who is of God hears the words of God, and for this reason I hear them, because you are not of God. Jesus tells them that if you were truly children of the Father, then you would truly love the Son. The Jews claim to be children of God. In reality, what Jesus is saying is that you are children of the devil. He says the devil is a murderer, and the devil is a liar. And you are simply following in the footsteps of your father. And here's the truth is that there is no middle ground. We are either living in the freedom of a relationship with Jesus, or we are living under the bondage of Satan. Right? I know people say, you know, I'm not really a believer in Jesus, but I'm not really following the devil either, and that's not really an option. You are either following Jesus or you are under bondage of Satan. And Jesus makes that very, very, very clear here. True freedom is knowing Jesus in a real and personal way. See, Christianity is not just about having a better life. This isn't about doing things so that your life is better. This isn't about having a Bible that is a self-help book that whenever we can't figure things out, we just go to the Bible and we can look up some key word to deal with whatever circumstance we're in and find some help. This isn't what this is about. See, Jesus is not some guru or some genie to give us what we want. He's not out there so that we can go and search for Jesus and Jesus can do something to make our life easier or to give us exactly what we want. This isn't what it's about. This is about the need of a Savior. This is about a transformation of a life. This is not about a better life. It's about life and death. See, the urgent message is that apart from Jesus, we are all destined for hell. We are dead to sin. That is what the Bible teaches. And the only freedom from that comes in a relationship with Jesus. See, it's a little early for Christmas, but we need to remember these words and remind these words of the message that are found in the angel's words as he spoke to Joseph in Matthew, where he said, "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. 'Behold, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel,' which translated means God with us." See, real freedom is that there's a God who loves us, and he came and he was born, and we're going to celebrate Christmas, and born of a virgin, and God with us. God came and was with us. And so what is real freedom? Let me share with you a story about freedom. Carrie Malcolm, she served for 15 years as a missionary to the Philippines. Carrie was a missionary kid, and she grew up in China. And as a teenager, she was confined for a time during World War II in an internment camp. And there she discovered a deep truth that changed her life. In this camp, she was simply known as number 16, and she was one of many Westerners who sought self-identity and comfort behind the walls and the electric fence that separated them from the outside world. There were many other missionary kids in the same predicament, and they often managed to get together for a few moments and pray, and their prayer was always for freedom. But as time passed, Carrie began to feel uneasy about these times of prayer. Freedom was becoming the ultimate goal in life. And God seemed to become less and less important, except for his answer to their prayers of freedom. She began to pray and search the Bible, and Carrie came to a new outlook on life, and she had no longer desired to join the others in their prayer for freedom. And it was only then that she was able to pray the prayer that changed her life. She says, "Lord, I'm willing to stay in this prison for the rest of my life if I can only know you." And at that moment, she became truly free. See, we try to find freedom in all the things. And we say, if God will just do the things we think he should do, then I will be okay and I will be free. And he says, freedom is in knowing me. Jesus came to make us free from the penalty of sin. It tells us in Romans that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Because of our sin, we are in a broken relationship with God. And we will never be free in a broken relationship. But Jesus came and died on that cross and paid the price for our sin, the perfect sacrifice for us. And Jesus not only came to make us free from the penalty of sin, but he came to make us free from the power of sin. See, when we accept Christ as our Savior, we no longer have to live as slaves to sin. And I don't understand why so many believers cling to their sin. They love their sin. They don't want to get rid of their sin, and they continue to stay in bondage. And Jesus says, it doesn't have to be that way. I came to make you free from the power of sin in your life. And not only that, but I have come so that at one time you will no longer even have to deal with the presence of sin. That there will come a time when we won't even have to worry about sin anymore. Jesus says that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And in a couple of days, we're going to be having a funeral service here, and we're going to be remembering the life of Patty Patterson. And as we do that, and she is no longer in the presence of sin. She no longer has that oxygen bottle that she carried around. It's not there anymore. Her health is good. She is in the presence of God. And I know oftentimes we mourn and we wonder why God takes people at certain times and why God does what he does. But we mourn for us and not for them, because they are in the presence of God. They are with God. Sometimes I read the story of Lazarus, and I see that when Jesus called Lazarus out of that grave, and I wonder how mad Lazarus was that he had to come back. You know, all this stuff, right? Because he could be in the presence of God. In the presence of God. Freedom. Freedom from this world. Freedom from sin. Freedom from all of this in knowing who God is. My brothers and sisters, Christ's death on the cross gave us real, true freedom. And Jesus says, if you want this freedom, believe in me. Are we living in this freedom? This morning, do you have a relationship with Jesus? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you do not, you are living in bondage of sin. And I invite you this morning to come to know him. This morning, are you sitting in this service knowing what God has for you, but still daily choosing bondage? Man, I did that for so many years of my life. I knew who God was. I knew what he was asking of me. I knew what it meant to follow him. And for some stupid reason, I chose every day to stay in my bondage. This morning, let me invite you, if you are living in sin, if you have this sin in your life that you haven't dealt with, and you're choosing this over God this morning, to make this a time where you say, God, I really, truly want freedom. And I'm willing to walk away and confess my sin and lay it at your feet. Maybe you're here this morning and there are things that are going on in your life, circumstances of life, and you're struggling. And you really need to feel the freedom of God. And I invite you to lay it all before the Lord and just ask him to deal those things in your life and allow him to bring that freedom. Christians, are we standing for truth in a world that is looking desperately for truth? In a world looking for truth, there's an answer. And the answer is Jesus. And as I said during our welcome time, the reason that we do all of this is because we want people to know who God is and make him known. And as I stand here before you, believing everything that I am telling you, experiencing the things that I'm telling you, that there is a hope and freedom and a relationship with Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the truth. And he's the one who gives us real freedom.
Savior. Fire on me. friend.